on too few acres. And although wet February and March eased some drought concerns in Crook County, the head of the Oshoko Irrigation District isn't sure whether he'll be able to make full deliveries to all 862 of his customers this year. That's a lot of water. That's a lot of people. Not all 862, of course, are farming intensely and using a great deal of irrigation, but water rights are very peculiar. A small farm, say 20, 30 acres, may have been running, for example, an organic operation for years that just evolved over the course of time into a going concern. That farm might not own the rights to the water in an aquifer underneath it, which it has been using to irrigate the land to a greater or lesser degree. It's not easy to switch over from traditional farming methods to dryland crops. And that is one everyone is feeling the struggle, from the agribusiness big boys down to the small organic farmers. And the message is dead clear. It's too many people. The pressure to produce food for so many people is deadening the environment in and around those areas which had been the most prolific, where we were accustomed to turning when we need something to eat. And this is, of course, you can count fish out of that something to eat equation, because they are on the verge of extinction. Okay, you might be able to find some fish, some salmon in some streams, but here's the thing. Once you've destroyed the habitat, you've destroyed the creature. Giraffes are extinct. Their habitat is destroyed. They just haven't all died yet. The message hasn't gotten through to them. Same goes for the salmon. Extinct. Their habitat is destroyed. Logging. The roads associated with logging, roads associated with getting into popular recreation areas, encroachment of human habitation, all of these things compromise the environment to such a degree that it is unrecognizable now as compared with what it used to be decades ago. Okay, so we have, half a century or a century. That's not enough time for fish to evolve to live in these circumstances. Maybe what they'll have to do is learn to walk on their fins and come ashore. And then we'll have another problem with an invasive species, eh? We'll have to all go out on the weekends with baseball bats and club them to death, so we can all have T-shirts saying, you know, I clubbed salmon for the environment. Well, so much for evolution. Environment Oregon is releasing a new report, Shining Cities, at the forefront of America's solar energy revolution. That's a subtitle. There is a press conference today at noon. The report ranks cities around the country based on installed solar. Solar, by the way, is getting a lot less expensive. Portland is right up there at the top of the list as far as solar energy is concerned. And once again, solar, the forces against it, the petrochemical industries, corporate oil companies, and so forth, have done everything they can to demonize solar and make claims that it's a very expensive way of obtaining energy. But hey, sunlight is free. And when you think Wallowa County, you think country, generally rural, where dogs run free. Well, when you have too many people, what you get along with it is just too damn much love. And that means too many dogs, in fact. So Commissioner Paul Castellera is trying to raise money for a countywide would be great, but nope, he's starting with a countywide dog control program that will include a limit on the number of dogs allowed per household. Come on, people. You don't need five miniature dogs to go in all your various handbags and pockets. Nobody needs that many dogs. So it's probably a good idea. what we do with the frustrated people of psychotic breakdowns as a result of their dogs being taken away. We don't know. We've already seen what happens when you take guns away from rural people. That didn't work either. Okay, maybe the psychotic quality of the American mind is not a byproduct of too many guns floating through the collective subconscious. No, no gun, okay, use a knife. No knife, use a rope. Or how about nice rock? No ropes or rocks. Well, there's always rear hands. If you're in the mood for murderous rampage, there's always a way to, as they say in the country, get her done. And many Americans do. This is our current tragedy, that citizens are pushed to what limits we can't even begin to imagine, where violence and the wasting of human life seem to be the only solution to the sorts of problems that people are having. Those are terrible problems. Those are inconceivably dark problems that people are having. If this is the resolution that seems most appropriate, even to someone who's extremely disturbed, these choices seem so far beyond the bounds of what we're accustomed to of who we are accustomed to think we are as a culture, as a society. It's difficult to make room simply for that idea in the architecture of our collective psyche. It's a terrifying thing, this latest knife attack, proving again that maybe it isn't simply the availability of guns, it's the availability of madness. And the day before yesterday, Ready for Hillary, that's the name of the group, it's a super PAC, said that more than 22,000 new donors gave money to the self-designated Clinton support network. That just between January 1st and March 31st, the average contribution was $53. 98% of it was $100 or less. So that's a good sign. Unfortunately, that money goes to build a bigger hawk. That's the problem with Hillary Clinton's campaign, is its hawkish qualities. House Republicans are marching ahead with an election year budget promising to balance the government's books with wide-ranging cuts in programs. Here's why. However much you object to and are repelled by the Clinton powerhouse juggernaut, with its many $53 donations, is what the Republicans have in mind would be incredibly destructive to many people's lives, and perhaps even more importantly to future lives, very destructive to the environment. This has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, April 10th, 2014. Rob Bergeron engineered the show today. Thank you for that, Rob. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints, we take an in-depth look at the U.S.-supported war crimes by Rwanda in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Also, a new list of endangered rivers released today by the conservation group American Rivers. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, we continue our reporting on Rwanda, what happened many years ago, and also talking a little bit about what Rwanda is doing now in the context of the Democratic Republic of Congo. It'd be very important to talk about this, given that the spotlight is on that region. And joining us to talk about this is Kambale Musavali. He works with Friends of Congo. It's good to have you with us. And Well, why don't you give us a little context? There's a lot of information now. There's a lot of reflection on the horrible situation that happened between the Hutu and the Tutsi and that massive slaughter. But since then, there has been an ongoing slaughter, which Rwanda is involved with the support of the United States. Can you set that up for us?
Absolutely. And I wanted to make sure that I also say that I do stand in solidarity with the hundreds of thousands of Rwandans who died unjustly during the Rwanda genocide. But now what the listeners have to know is that the current regime of Rwanda, the current government of Rwanda, has been involved in a war in the Congo for over a decade that has taken the lives of over 6 million Congolese. And this war has been a war waged to get access to Congo's minerals, minerals that's used in our electronic devices such as your cell phone, laptop, DVD players, VCR, and so on. And as the Rwandan government has waged a war on the Congo, there's been a complete silence around the world, around the 6 million deaths in the Congo. There has not been accountability for the crimes of the Rwandan government. And one can clearly connect it to the United States because of the fact that Rwanda is a U.S. ally on the war on terror, which means that they send their troops around the world. They are in Iraq. Actually, in the case of Rwanda, they are in Haiti. They are in Sudan. And one of the commanders responsible for war crimes was being indicted by the Spanish court, the same court that tried Pinochet, and found a Rwandan general responsible for war crimes, but he is commanding the UN forces in Mali. And all of that is happening in complete silence, and it's quite unfortunate. As we commemorate the genocide, as we think of never again for the Holocaust, never again for the Rwanda genocide, we should also say never again for the millions of deaths that have occurred in Congo.
Now, you would say, I guess, that the United States is facilitating this sort of death operation based on its desire to have access to key materials, for instance, for cell phones. Talk about the U.S. role and how the real politics looks here.
Yes, yeah, so the Rwanda, the war in the Congo is partly Rwanda and also Uganda, but we'll focus us on Rwanda. So Rwanda is a staunch U.S. ally. You know, they are military partners in the war on terror, and there are also economic gains. In 2001, the United Nations published a report listing 85 companies illegally pilfering Congo's resources, many of them operating through Rwanda. We have the listing is right on conflictminerals.org. Some of the U.S. companies that were implicated at the time are companies such as Cabot Corporation in Boston, Massachusetts, who at the time of the report, their former CEO became the Secretary of Energy of George Bush, Mr. Samuel Badman, who was nominated unanimously in the Congress without even bringing light to the issue of his former company and how his former company was getting coal sand out of the Congo. So we have Chemet Electronic that was listed. You have OM Group that was listed. Those are American companies. But you don't hear those names. You know, you don't hear the corporate. And then in the case of the diplomatic and political field, you have to know that the United States actually has a law in the books to hold those who are committing crimes in the Congo. So in the case of Rwanda, a specific law called Public Law 109456, and this will be probably a shocker, it was written by Senator Obama, who is today the U.S. president. And in this law, he says that if there is any nation destabilizing the Congo, the United States will not provide support, our taxpayers' money, to that nation. Unfortunately, the U.S. has ignored this law. They have enforced part of it by withholding a little bit of military aid, but they have not gone as far as stopping our taxpayers' money from going to Rwanda, because we know with the military support that we provide to Rwanda, with the aid money that we provide, we subsidize the Rwandan government for the crimes they are committing in the Congo. And of course, during the anniversary of the Rwanda genocide, no one is actually mentioning that also the current government of Rwanda is responsible for war crimes, crimes against humanity, and possible genocide in the Congo, as the UN High Commission for Human Rights said in 2010.
Let me ask you to make sure we can put a human face on this. What does the war look like on the ground? How are people suffering? What are the real impacts, the day-to-day impacts of this ongoing war?
Yes, Rwanda and Uganda invaded the Congo twice, and they continue to support rebels in the Congo. What those rebels are doing, they are going in areas that are rich of minerals, and they're doing a few things while they're there. They're displacing population, terrorizing the population, killing them in public, massacring children, women, elderly. They are raping women. And, you know, some have even went as far to say that Congo is the rape capital of the world because of the destruction that they're causing on the Congolese women. An estimate go as high as 1 million women brutally raped.
Did you say 1 million women raped?
Yes. Yes, those are some of the conservative estimates that we have there. But you don't see that on the news. You don't hear, you know, 6 million deaths in the Congo. You don't hear 1 million women raped in the Congo to get access to those minerals and in total impunity. But then it's also important, as now we are